This is rich. Now, I have to imagine there are a lot of you out there that might be thinking that this preacher's going to throw a curveball at me. He's going to bring me in and talk about how to be enriched, and really what he's going to say to me is how rich I am in Jesus Christ. I want to make a few things clear as we get started into this series. The first thing I want to make clear is that, yes, I absolutely believe that those of you who have been saved by God, who are in Jesus Christ, you are rich beyond your wildest imagination. The inheritance that we have as Christians is beyond anything that we could ever hope or dream for. I do believe that wholeheartedly. Second thing I want to make very clear is that the bulk of this series, the meat of this series, is not talking about that kind of rich. Because a lot of you might hear about that kind of rich and you say, you know what, I understand I can be rich in Jesus, but that doesn't pay the heating bill in the wintertime. That doesn't take care of the mortgage. So during this series, what we are talking about are the riches, the wealth, the finances, the tangible blessings from God that can pay the heating bill. We're talking about material resources that can take care of the mortgage, that can pay for the car payment. That's what we're talking about for the bulk of this message series. There will be times where we'll refer to the greater riches that we have in Christ, but the bulk of this series is talking about here and now financial riches here on earth. The third thing I want to make very clear is that this is not a series on how to get rich. It's a series on how to be rich. And I hope that after the 4 weeks that we have together on this subject, you'll understand that there is just a huge gulf in between those two things, between getting rich and being rich. So this is a series about being rich. How many of you have ever dreamed about being rich? Come on, confession time. And you dream and you think, you know, what would it be like to feel rich? I would love to feel rich someday, because then if I felt rich, I would act rich. And I would live rich. I would live so rich. And a lot, I believe that a lot of us look at other people that we view as rich, people that make more than we do. And we look at them and we say, you know, if I were that rich, I'd be better at being rich than they are. Is that just me? We got other hands? You've thought that. I'd be so much better at being rich than they are. But then there are some of you here, and you're embarrassed because we're talking about you. And you know it. You know you make considerably more than other people. And you know that you're rich, and you're embarrassed. But I want to let you know, I want to let everyone here know that more of us are rich than you think. There are a lot more of us that are rich here. In fact, I believe every one of us here are rich, and we just don't want to admit it. Or we don't know how to admit it. Because there's definitely something that's not rich. And there's definitely something that is rich. Those are two things that I believe are true things. There's a category that's the not rich category. There's the category that's the rich category. But I think what blurs our vision, what help keeps us from understanding if we're rich or not, we don't know where that rich line is. Because if there is a category that's not rich, and there is a category that is rich, then there is a rich line somewhere. And somewhere we're going to cross that rich line if we're going to move from one category to the other. And if we knew where that rich line was, then we would be able to say, okay, this Friday I'm getting paid. Now Thursday I'm in the not rich category. But this Friday, this is the day that I make it and I cross the rich line. And Friday, ooh, I'm going to be living large. I'm rich. Or maybe you get paid on the 15th of the month, same scenario, 14th of the month. You're sitting there and thinking, you know, I'm in the not rich category, but come the 15th of the month, I'm crossing that rich line because I know where that rich line is now. And I'm going to be rich on the 15th. We don't say that because we don't know where the rich line is. And so that's what we're going to be talking about at the beginning of this series. We're going to be defining what is rich. And where is that rich line? How do we know the difference between those two categories? Because we're going to define that line so that then we can learn how to feel rich. We're going to be talking about that next week. Feel rich. And the week after that, we're going to learn how to act rich. And then the last week in the series, we're going to learn how to live rich. But as we get started, we have to define what rich is. We have to define that rich line. Now, there is something that is not rich, and there is something that is rich. In fact, our Bibles confirm this, because our Bible talks to the rich at times. So it confirms, acknowledges, there is a category that is rich. There's a category that's not rich. In fact, in your bulletins, if you look down there, 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're going to be doing something a little different. Your scripture is going to be in your bulletins. We're going to be filling in some blanks in that scripture to draw your attention to certain key words. And Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells Timothy, Paul tells him, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Now, does it say, command those who are rich to get rid of all their money because rich is bad? No. It says, command those who are rich to be careful, to not be arrogant, to not put their hope in their wealth. Why? Because it's uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So it acknowledges where our riches come from. Our riches come from God. Our wealth comes from God. And it's there for our enjoyment. Command them, he's talking about the rich, command the rich to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So there's life, and then there's true life. There's real life. There's life in Christ. And how to be rich. Not only rich in Christ, but be financially rich. And to be able to honor God with that by being rich. Now, a lot of us read passages like this, and we say, oh, that doesn't apply to me. We come across many passages in the Bible, and as soon as we see that it is talking to rich people, we say, well, that doesn't apply to me. Why? Because I'm not rich. I'm not rich. That doesn't apply to me. And we turn our ears off. We might read it, but we're not thinking, I need to pay attention to this because it applies to me. We're thinking, this would be great for a rich person to read. This is great wisdom for someone that has more money than I do. But we don't apply it to ourselves. And I want to challenge that this morning. How do you know if you don't know where the rich line is, if you belong in the not rich category, or if you belong in the rich category? Don't be so sure to put yourself in the not rich category. Because if we were to go around the world and ask different people in different places of the world, what does a rich person look like? They might describe a rich person by saying, well, a rich person owns their own car. They might say that because only 3% of the people alive in the world today own a car. 3%. For all of you who own a car, there are 97 other people who do not own a car. 3%. They might say that a rich person has a car. Not only does a rich person have a car, but some of these rich people, they're so rich that they have a house for their car. In some of these countries where they are living multiple families in one house, if you even want to call it a house, drafty, and the roof's barely on, and it leaks, and there's holes, and that's their home. And other families are struggling to even have a house, a shelter. There are rich people in the world, and believe me, there are, that have a house for their car. Some people even have a three-car house. A three-car garage is what we call them. And in two of the spots, they have a car in each spot because they're so rich, they can have two cars. And then the third spot's for all their other stuff that they've accumulated. Some people are so rich that they have a car that they don't drive. They buy a car because they like the way it looks, and they shine it up, and they take these things called car shows, and then win trophies that end up sitting in that third spot in the garage. Some people are so rich that they buy their kids cars. Their kids are driving around in cars that they have bought. That's how rich they are. And these rich people, they get in their cars and they drive down their road, their nice paved road. And they pass these buildings, one and one, 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 all, just a row, not just a couple of them, but rows of buildings. And these buildings are called restaurants. And inside these restaurants, these rich people can go in and they can sit down and food is brought to them. It's prepared for them. And their glasses are kept full. And if things aren't just right, then they complain, these rich people, about the service, about the food quality. And people come and they'll clean the dishes up for them. They'll go wash them and they just have to pay and they walk out. That's how rich they are. Some of these rich people, they eat more than they need. Yeah, you got the fat rich, don't you? And they just eat and they eat and they eat. And in some of these countries where people are just starving, where their stomachs are just empty. They know that somewhere in the world there are people that are so rich, they just eat and they eat more than they need. In fact, they even eat in between meals. They eat snacks in between. They eat when they're not even hungry. They just eat because they can, because they're rich. You know, some of these rich people, some of these rich people own so many clothes that they need a closet for their clothes, to store their clothes. In fact, some of these rich people are so rich that they have a closet that you can walk into. And there's enough space in these closets that you could do aerobic exercises. Some families even have two closets, one for the husband and one for the wife. And both of them you can walk into. And you walk into the man's closet, and he's got two rows of clothes on both sides. And you walk into the woman's closet, she's got two rows of clothes on both sides. And these rich people, they'll walk in their closet and they'll go through all of the clothes on the top row and they'll go through all of the clothes on the bottom row. And then they'll stand back and they'll say, I just don't have anything to wear. Because that's what rich people do. Now, some of you are thinking, you know, you put up a pretty good argument, but I don't feel rich. I don't feel rich. And the reason why you don't feel rich, and in fact, you say, I don't feel rich while you're sitting in your recliner eating your pizza with your remote control beside you, watching your TV with digital cable, and you're still saying, I don't feel rich. The reason why you don't feel rich is because rich is a moving target in our society. Our rich line is always moving. It's always moving around. What you thought was rich yesterday is not rich today. Some of you thought years ago, you know, I'm making $24,000 a year, and that's pretty good. But if I could just double that, if I could make $48,000 a year, I'd be rich. But in that time where you've gone from 24 to 48, you've gotten a couple kids. Gas prices have gone up. You've decided that you need a better house, a bigger house. You decided that you need better appliances or bigger appliances, a better car, a newer car. And so when you get to $48,000 a year, you realize, this isn't rich. In fact, I'm just barely getting by on something that I thought was rich just yesterday. Our rich line is moving. Because we have this insatiable desire, and this is something we talked about a couple years ago called affluenza. This desire to have more and more, to have bigger and better. And we constantly want more. And the reason why we're doing that is because we want to feel rich. And we think if we get all of this stuff, if we get rich people's stuff in our lives, then we'll feel rich. Then we can act rich. And we can live rich. But rich keeps moving. You know, that insatiable desire, that's not how to be rich. That's how to be stressed. That's not how to be rich. That's how to be overloaded. That's how to be overwhelmed. That rich line moves. Well, today I've got some good news and I've got some bad news for you. Which one would you like first? Good news, bad news? We got one vote for the good news. We got everybody else for the bad news. Tough luck. We're doing good news first because that's what's in your bulletins first. All right? Good news is, all right, you ready for the good news this morning? Good news is you are rich. I want you to take that personally. Write that down and say, I am rich. I am rich. And that's good news because you can do more. You can have more. You can provide more for your children. You can provide more safety, more nutrition, more health. You can live in a comfy lifestyle. You can travel. You can go places. Beyond all those things, the reason why this is good news is you've been given more resources so that you can do more with them for others. So that you can do more for other people, so that you can give more, so that you can be more. And this is good news because God has blessed us. That's why we're rich. That's why we're rich. In Ecclesiastes 5:19, this is in your bulletin. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a what? A gift of God. You are rich. Say that with me. I am rich. Oh, yeah. We're rich. And if I'm going to be good at being rich, I have to first admit that I am rich. I do. Say that again. I am rich. Turn to your neighbor. Tell each other. Admit this to each other. Turn to your neighbor. Say, I am rich. Turn to your other neighbor. Tell your other neighbor, I am rich. Say it like you mean it. Now, even still, I've got a number of you who are still sitting there saying, I don't feel rich. I'm not convinced. You know, if you look at the worldwide population of wage earners, if you make $37,000 a year, you're in the top 4% of wage earners across the world. Top 4%. You know, if you bump that up a few thousand, $45,000 a year. If you make $45,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of wage earners in the world. There are 99 other people in the world that make less than you. For every one of you, there are. Top 1%. Admit it. You're rich. I don't think we like to admit it because we're embarrassed that we're rich. Look at all the other ways that God has blessed you and how you respond to those things. You know, if God has blessed you with children, with beautiful children, with intelligent children, and someone comes up to you and they say, God has really blessed you. Your child is just adorable. They're so cute. They're so intelligent. They're so talented. You don't turn around to them and say, they're butt ugly. I don't know what you're saying. That kid's dumb as a rock. You don't live with him. He ain't got no talent. He got two left feet. Don't know what he's doing. So I sit in the bench all the time. You don't say that, do you? You say, yeah, you know what? God has blessed me with wonderful children. That's a blessing. And we give honor and we give glory and credit to God. What about your husband or your wife? Someone comes up to you and says, you know, you just got a wonderful husband. God has really blessed you. Or a wonderful wife. God has really blessed you. You guys have got a wonderful marriage. It just seems like God has been in your marriage and he's blessed you. You don't turn around to them and say, she snores. She snores all night long. She says that I snore, but I don't know how she knows that I snore because for 10 years I haven't gotten a wink of sleep. I'm blessed. Yeah, I'm blessed, sure, yeah. He brags about back in the day, I used to be able to hit three-pointers all day long, 10-foot hoop. He can't hit a basket 3 foot off the ground with his dirty clothes. We don't say that. We respond to those things. We say, you know what? I am blessed. I am very blessed. I've been married 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Yeah, we've had some rough times, but God has been with us, and we've got a great marriage. God has blessed that, but we don't take the same attitude towards finances. We don't look at the blessings that God has brought to us and give God credit for them. In fact, we try to give a defense for the blessings that God has given us. We make excuses when someone compliments your clothes or your car or your house. Automatically, you go to explaining how and why. In fact, even first service, as people were walking out, they were explaining to me about their clothes. You know, I got this on discount. You didn't get it. And that's what you do. Someone compliments that, you say, oh, I just couldn't pass up the APR. It's a great deal. Oh, I went to the store. I couldn't pass this up. It was a buy one, get one free on clearance, and I even got a coupon with it. They paid me to take it home. We make excuses for the financial blessings, the material blessings that God has brought our way. And I think that's wrong. I think those blessings, we need to say, you know what? God has blessed me, and He gets all the glory, and He gets all the credit. He has given me a wonderful house. He has given me a wonderful car. Say this with me. God has blessed me with more than I need. I am rich. Say that again. God has blessed me with more than I need. I am rich. I want you to pack that up and I want you to take that home with you. Write that down in your bulletin. God has blessed me with more than I need. I am rich. And I told you I had good news and bad news. That's the good news. Now I've got some bad news for you. You ready for the bad news? You're rich. Go on, take that personally. Write that down. I am rich. And that's the bad news this morning. And that's bad news because Jesus was caught talking to a rich young man one time. And he said, I've obeyed everything. And Jesus tells him, he says, I want you to go and sell all your possessions and follow me. And the man went away sad. And then Jesus turned and he said this, found in Luke 18. He says, how hard it is for the what? For the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. You guys ever seen an eye of a needle? Eye of a needle? I couldn't even show you from up here if I had one. You don't even know if I've got one in my hand. It's so small. You guys ever seen a camel? Have you ever seen a camel up close? They're big animals, aren't they? Can you imagine an animal going through the eye of a needle? One thread at a time, that's the only way that's going to happen. Certainly not going to come out the other end looking like a camel. It's impossible. That's what Jesus was saying, it's impossible. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a what? A rich man to enter the kingdom of God. See, that's why it's bad news. It's hard for us to get into the kingdom. And I've shared this with you before, the difficulties of evangelism, of sharing Jesus Christ with Americans. Man, we can just ride on down to the store and we can get anything we want. We can order it online. We don't even have to get out of our pajamas. We just order it online. It's delivered to us in a few days. We don't see the need for God in our lives the way people in other countries see the need for God in their lives. And that's dangerous because that puts us in this category. We are the camel trying to get through the eye of a needle. We are the rich man in this story. There are three problems with being rich. First problem is it is harder to depend on God. I don't think any of us in this room have ever read the Lord's Prayer and really understood that passage that says, God, give me today my daily bread. We read it, we recite it, we might recite it, we might think, you know, I'm praying that God will take care of me, but inside your head, you know, I got my daily bread. It's in the fridge. I got leftovers from yesterday. I don't think any of us know what it means to really pray. God, my stomach's empty. I don't care about tomorrow. I don't care about next week. Just give me today what I need to eat. We've got life insurance. We've got assets. We've got savings. We've got car insurance. We've got stocks and bonds. We've got so much saved up that we have ensured that our children will not have to worry about depending on God either. It's harder to depend on God when you're rich. It distracts me from true priorities. You are rich. And being rich means that you have so many other opportunities for stuff, for things, for activities. You can go from one place to another. You can take vacations. You've got a lot of other things to be worried about. You have a car. You have to be worried about that car if it breaks down. You have to keep maintenance. You have to keep the car up. Some of you, well, I'd say most of us, have temperature-controlled houses. You have to worry about the air conditioning unit. You have to worry about the heater. Some of you got more than one air conditioning unit, more than one furnace to heat the upstairs and the downstairs. You have to worry about those things. You have to keep them up. You have computers. You have to watch out and make sure that they don't get attacked by a virus. You have to call the cable company when the cable goes out. You have appliances that need to be maintained. You have bills that need to be paid. Some of you have a summer house. You've got a lake house, or maybe you've got a winter house that you go down to in the winter. You've got to worry about all the things that go on with that house as well. Some of you have extra toys. I'd say all of us have hobbies, extra toys that we've got that we spend our money on. And these are luxuries. These are nice to have, and we can have them because we're rich. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those things. But what is wrong is that those things can distract us from true priorities. And that's a danger of being rich. The third problem with being rich is that I have a greater responsibility. And when you get a raise, when you get extra money that comes in, you get a bonus, our first thought is, oh, this is great. I can spend this on what I've been wanting to buy. This is great. This is more money for me. And that's not how to be rich, people. That's how to be selfish. You need to look at that money and say, you know, God has blessed me with something extra. I need to be responsible for what God has given to me. To whom much is given, much is expected. There is a lot expected of us as rich Americans. You know, today I wanted to convince you of one simple thing. You are rich. I am rich. We are rich. And those passages in the Bible that we've blown off for years because we've thought, you know, that doesn't apply to me because God's talking to the rich and I'm certainly not rich. We need to go back and review those passages and take a look at them and realize, you know, when Paul tells Timothy to tell those who are rich to not be arrogant, we need to realize that's me. 1 Timothy chapter 6 is talking to me. I need to make sure that I'm not arrogant and that I don't put my faith and my hope and my wealth, but that my faith and hope stay in God. We need to realize that when in Ecclesiastes 5 it says that those who are rich, those who have been given wealth, it's a gift from God. We need to realize that passage is talking about me. I've been blessed by God. I'm rich. We look at passages like that one in Luke and realize it's harder for a rich man, it's harder for me to get to heaven than to pass a camel through the eye of a needle. We need to realize that's talking about me. I'm the rich man. I need to be responsible. I need to be careful. You know, Jesus said that that's impossible. But then he follows that up by saying that with God, everything's possible. You can learn to be dependent on God and still go buy your groceries at the superstore. You can learn to be dependent on Him. I believe that we need to admit that we are rich this morning. We need to understand that is a blessing from God, our wealth is. And we need to be responsible as rich people and allow those passages in the Bible that speak to the rich to speak to us.